Welcome to the Black Woman Complex podcast, a podcast where we support and uplift Black women. I'm your host, Akai Imani, and today we have
Latiba Ponder. Hi, I have two full-time jobs. I'm a mother as well as a government employee. I also have a couple of hobbies that keep me busy outside of my eight-hour day and in between being a mom.
Thank you so much for that introduction. So let's roll into it. I guess we'll start off with the first question, which is, has there ever been a time where you feel like you've been faced with the Black woman complex? And if there hasn't been a time, how have you felt supported as being a Black woman and being a trailblazer in the different things that you do?
Well, that's kind of twofold. There have been times that I have felt the complex indirectly, and it could have just been my perception of the way someone was treating me, and they may not have intended to do that. And then other individuals just working in the STEM, field. I'm not a engineer by trade, but because of my daughter, I've had to kind of, I've been pushed in the direction of STEM, and I do enjoy it. So, organizers who are a part of STEM, they have been encouraging, and they have been men, and they've been encouraging to help me take that leap into STEM where I thought I may not have been qualified. They would remind me, no, you are qualified. You can do this. But there may have been other individuals who may have been a part of various organizations, and because they are engineers or have certain backgrounds, they may have I may have perceived or felt a certain way just off of my interaction with them, where they felt like they were the know-it-all, or, you know, I really didn't know anything. And it could have come from, because I am not an engineer, but I would have been qualified enough, because if I'm doing certain tasks, I learned it hands-on, where they were just kind of coming in. And just because they were an engineer didn't mean that that job transferred to the duties that we were doing.
That's very true. So can you be a little bit more specific for our audience? I know you are my mom, so of course I know everything that you do. However, I do want to make sure that, you know, you brag on yourself a little bit. You tell everybody the different things that you do. So can you kind of walk us through what you mean when you say STEM, and almost when you started doing this? So when was your first really real experience with STEM, and what are you even referring to? What experience have you had? All of that.
Well, first experience would be Takaya, being younger and getting involved in activities with school. Okay. So I kind of recognized early on, I thought that you had an interest for STEM. So you got involved in a camp. And then from there, we joined a STEM organization. And I'm a very hands-on mom. So I was always there. I didn't just drop you off.
Yeah, and that's very true. Very true. Never, ever, ever drop off parent.
So not just dropping off, but I also wanted to see. I wanted to be a part of, because we're so close that I always was the volunteer parent. So because I was there, individuals were like, well, you're here, so you might as well just help out.
Yeah.
You know, you, hey, can you do this task? Can you do that task? And then it started to become, I realized that I was very interested. And when I was younger, I definitely was interested in techie type things. The environment, the industry is totally different than when I grew up. And I went to college, not for anything related to engineering, but now I love it. And I wish that I would have had the same opportunities that you have. And then I may have potentially gone into that field.
Yeah.
So with that, just helping students, I have a love for children. So just helping students and being encouraged, I'm not going to say pushed, but being encouraged to be a STEM coach in various ways. And of course, again, it started off with helping with you. Mm-hmm. And then going forward with, okay, now we're separated because now you go to a different program, and then, oh, you're needed over here. It's like, okay, that's an adjustment, and having to do that and going forward with, I think I like this. And then having the opportunity to teach classes with you, be it after school classes with robotics or 3D printing. And then I always had to learn the activity to be, because you were young, to be able to show you, and you were fortunate enough to have a 3D printer, and you messed it up the first day you tried it. And so then it was like, okay, you know what? No, I need to help. I need to understand. I need to teach myself and then teach her. So that's kind of how it started. And because I already have interest in that, it wasn't hard at all. It was just, oh, how does this work?
You were definitely like that. And I think one thing that's very important for kids is having that support. You know, one thing I always say is that whenever I felt like I took like a step forward, you were right behind me and I could just wave at you and say, hi, mommy. You know what I mean? And just be excited to be around you. And I think that's really important for kids, especially Black women. You know, when you're raising a Black woman as a Black woman, like that takes a different type of one confidence that I think Black mothers have. And also just to give that to their kids. I remember at a young age, I had to cut my hair. So I was in Florida and I had like this huge knot in my hair. I didn't like get hit in the head when I say knot because that has been misinterpreted a few times when I've said knot, but a knot as in my hair was in a knot. So my hair all basically had a little dreadlock in it, but it was pretty big. So all my hair locked together and there was no way to get it out. So I had to cut my hair. And I remember one of the main things my mother pushed me was like, you're beautiful and you're confident. And even to this day, I rock short hair and I have the confidence that I feel like, you know, some people may not have, but that's something that you have instilled in me that has been like super, super helpful. So I really think that having a mother that's so supportive and so involved, as my mother was for me and still is to this day, it's very, very important to have that support as a Black woman, especially because your mother knows, like she knows the things that you've been through, you know. I also have the pleasure of going to the University of Maryland, where my mom attended. So being able to, you know, go to a school where knowing that she went there, granted it was a different time, but however, she still understood the struggles and what it means to be a Black student on this campus at a PWI. She still understands those things. So I think that's very big. So I know you said you teach classes. What type of classes?
I teach, there's a program called VexIQ. Okay. So initially it was just robotics, not a particular name. But beyond that, we did Destination Imagination, yes, which was amazing. And I was able to, again, be able to see. I want to see. I want to do. I want to participate. So me, of course, not really thinking that I was qualified, there weren't any managers to manage a team. You wanted to do it. So it was okay. And again, I loved it. I absolutely loved being able to watch the different things that you did, see how you grew, because you did grow. You grew from each year, you know, and to just be a part of that, to witness it, to be have that sense of pride and be able to instill that in you as well, in addition to the support. So I started teaching VexIQ. And it is a national program. Actually, it's around the world. And just teaching students about robotics and trying to help expose them. And again, a key factor is I am not an engineer and not thinking that I was qualified to do this. But if you just apply yourself, you know, if there's anybody listening, just and you're questioning anything, just apply yourself. If you love it, if you have a passion, if you have a desire, there is a reason for you to go forward with this, do it. Just do it. The worst that can happen is somebody say no, or it didn't work out, or just put your best foot forward, you know, and it will all work out. My motivation was you. And then it went beyond you because you were already doing it. So it was, oh, I like this. Now, if it were some other activity that wasn't STEM, that I didn't know how to do or even have the ability to do, then I would still support. I don't know how hands-on I could have been, but because we were able to share in that together, I've always thought that that was very special, something that we could actually do together and that you could grow with. And then, as I mentioned, we were fortunate enough to do a 3D printing class.
Yeah, that was really cool. We went to the patent and trademark office and we led a workshop there. Yes. For a day for what was it, girls? It was a girl powered event.
Girl power.
Which was amazing to be able to speak on the panel to other women and inspire them. And we've also led a few other engineering workshops along with, I know we were teaching robotics together when I was in middle school,
right?
So we've definitely had our fair share of teaching together, leading programs together. Hey, that might be a little business we need to start up again.
Right
honestly,
right?
We're pretty good duo. There's one thing that you said that you touched on when you were talking about that piece of advice of just doing it and going out there. I can say, speaking firsthand, as this is my mother once again, proud of that, being able to say that there's one thing, another big thing that I think has been really important in the person that I've become, and that's try. No matter what, like just how she said on here, one piece of advice I give you is just, you know, just do it. What happens if they let them tell you no? That's one of the biggest things my mom has said, like all my life, let them tell you no. You try, they tell you no, that, so what? All right, figure out a solution. It has always been, let them tell you no. Okay, if that happens, what's next? And I think that's another really big thing that has been able to really shape who I am in a way where, you know, me thinking I can do anything, you know, working on building 19 streams of income before my 19th birthday, like doing things that are just crazy and people are like, what is that? Almost unheard of, right? But just try. Where's the happens if you don't? If I fall flat with the 19 and I have 10, wow, that's better something than a lot of other people that are out here. You know what I mean? So I think that trying and just try. What happens if not? I think that's a really big mindset and something that I feel like I've even encouraged other people to do, spreading that advice. Do you have any other piece of advice that you'd like to share that you think you've told me for majority of my childhood coming up to now being 18?
I think the just try, and you know me, I'm always one to say, pray about it. Yeah. Pray about it. And another thing, if it's for you, if it's something God has for you, no matter what obstacle you think may stand in your way, it doesn't matter. And I've told you various stories with respect to my career, and I may not have thought I'd, you know, got a job or this particular situation happened with a job. And then next thing you know, I'm coming in the office and people are congratulating me about a job. You know, things just, if I'm a firm believer, if God has something for you, nobody can stop it. No matter what you think may be the obstacle, it nobody can stop it. So if you are living your purpose, which is something else that I try to encourage you to do, you know, you pray and you ask the Lord, and I'm constantly praying over you to order your steps. And if you're feeling like you are fulfilling your purpose, then you just go forward with it and ask God to give you that strength. But then that goes back to praying. So that for me is very, very, very important. It's a definite key piece.
It is. And growing up in a family that has been very spiritual and very religious, I can say that's definitely impacted who I am. And, you know, once again, the things that I want to do, the projects that I want to work on, the people that I want to impact, it has been something that has been very influential to me and just the person that, you know, I want to be. I definitely think that's a really big aspect and a big key, a big player,
right,
into, you know, like growing and just trying to be a better person every day in these different things. And having a mother, having a woman and a mother or anybody in your life that prays for you. You have people praying over you and you don't even know. That's right. That's big. And that's a big thing, you know, and to know that things are being lifted up over you and you don't even know about it.
And it also gives, you know, just kind of a segue into another piece of this, you know, just being a mom wanting to always support. There's a period where as you become older, you kind of want to step out and be more independent, you know, and you as a parent want to be supportive, but you don't want to be overbearing. But then you have lived more years of life, so you have more experience, but your child still has to go through that, you know, and I can say for me and probably for most mothers out there, you want to that mama bear, you know, you want to protect your child.
Yeah.
You know, so that for me was a major adjustment, and prayer helped me to be able to not release you, but to know, Lord, you made her, you know what she needs. I'm just going to keep praying and have faith that you have her. And then from there, there's nothing I can do. I can't be with you every single day watching over you. And because you and I were so close, you know, were growing up. No, still are. But you were in the house every single day. Me being able to be a part of every aspect of your life. Where now that you're on a college campus, I hear it from you, but I'm not witnessing it every single day. I'm a part of every part of your life, you know. So that was an adjustment, and prayer really did help me. And then my reliance on, you know what, God, you have her. And not wanting your child to take on too much, and not to say that they can't do it. But again, you know, if there is, you know, there've been times where you've taken on various projects and it's like, okay, that's a lot. That's a lot to do. And I've been there with you when it's been a lot. and, you know, you want your kid to get sleep. You want your kid to still be able to socialize and not just work, 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 work. And, you know, you want them to still be a kid because it's like you have so many more years to do all this stuff that you're doing. Like, don't rush it, you know? So dealing with a kid who is very motivated and overachiever, wanting to accomplish so much. And as a parent, you don't want to hold them back, but you still want to protect and say, well, maybe just, and then we grew up in two different eras, you know,
that's like, very true.
So
NFTs weren't a thing.
Oh my goodness. No. So when I'm thinking of the traditional, because that's what I had, and then now it's not so traditional anymore, but it's like me having to kind of shift like, oh wait, okay. That can still be done. But again, is it too much? You know, are you going to be overwhelmed because you are a college student and you're there to be a student? But at the same time, it's also about the networking, the connections you make to help you grow. But you need to be able to have the time to do it all without putting 70% of your time into the other aspects of work. Yeah. And then you have school. But then when is there time for you to just have a release?
And that's another big thing. Even I feel like some days I do struggle having that balance. And I've even been told, like, listen, you need to take more time for you.
Right.
Because there are a lot of things that I'm passionate about and a lot of things that I work so hard towards doing. And finding that balance, I guess one thing, you know, a piece of advice I give to anyone, you know, listening into this, that maybe in college or have like really big dreams, is really find that balance. Mm-hmm. Like, find a balance where some days you say no. Some weeks you're like, man, I didn't do anything this week. That was one of the weeks I had this week. This week, I did a lot of sleeping. I did a lot of catching up on rest. I was just exhausted. And that was something that honestly, I had really never really felt. I feel like I'm always just on the go.
Right.
And it really caught up to me this week. And I was just tired. Like, it was just hard for me. I go to sleep at like 10, 11, 12. Now, for those who don't know me, that is absurd. I go to sleep at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, sometimes 6. That's my range of sleep. I don't really go to sleep before 1 or 2. Like, that's insane. So to really just be at a point of like exhaustion and just, man, I'm tired and, you know, working on getting good grades and working on other projects and having all these meetings and all these different things, having big events, it can take a toll on you. And it's very important to take breaks.
Yes.
Important to listen to those around you that are like, hey, I think you need to slow down a little bit, or not even slow down, but at least take a day off for you. I think another big thing, I was having a conversation with a family member yesterday. And one thing I realized when I was sharing with my, you know, some of my dreams with them is just like, I'm realizing that this may not make sense to anybody else but me. And that's okay.
Right.
It's okay to have these crazy ideas that no one else understands or have a crazy process. And you know, it works for you. And you might think like, you know, people, like I said, this, the main thing for me that I've been dealing with is hearing people and what they have to say about, oh, what do you mean you're going to build 19 streams of income before your 19th birthday? Well, how are you going to do that? You know what I mean? I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to try. And once again, if it doesn't work, that's okay.
It's okay.
If I finish with 5 streams of income, I'm excited. You know what I mean? Now let me scale this. What can I do now?
Right.
But you can't give up on your dream. And if you have that vision, you have to protect it. And that's another thing I've learned too, you know, getting older, is that people can't see what you can see. And especially when, you know, you're ambitious or a dreamer or a go-getter, sometimes people can't always see it. But you just keep showing them by how you act and showing them, you know, by the different things that you're doing. One thing I feel like I've always had trouble with is sharing that. And now I feel like I'm able to tell you these different things and like share them with you. You may still think I might be a little crazy, but you're like, okay, well, how you gonna do it, you know? Or what can I do to help you? And that's something that is, once again, really big. Which leads me to a question that I wanted to ask you is, I know we've been talking a lot about support and, you know, how that's important. Where do you think I would have been if maybe you were a parent that wasn't as supportive? How do you think that would have impacted me? So really just analyzing the support that you've given me over my 18 years of life. If I wasn't here, what kind of person do you think I would be? Even knowing other kids that may not have had certain support, like how do you think that would be?
Right. I think that you probably, because you like to do well. So regardless, I think that you would have still been achieving. You might not have had direction. You have honed in on certain things that you want to do. When you were just a kid, I tried to introduce you to various things to see what is that one thing that's going to stick. You know, you were really good with your hands. So a friend of mine told me, you know, let her string some beads, make necklaces. You're doing this at 2 years old. You know what I mean? So I knew early on, okay, she is good with her hands. So then I tried to, you know, foster that. So had I not known that, you might have found it on your own. You know, you may have been involved in some activity and just recognized, oh, I can do this. I like this. So maybe I can try this. I do think that you probably would have, like I said, been accomplishing. You may not have had a span as you have had over these past few years with respect to, you know, a shift in direction career-wise and thinking about things that you want to do. But I have tried to allow you to the room, not just to say, no, you have to do this, but the room to say, okay, you're going to do this. And you know, with me, if you switch up your plan, you have to have a plan.
Oh yeah. Like, I know that.
Cause you know, I'm going to ask a bunch of questions and it's not about not supporting. It's just, okay, did you think about this?
Yeah.
These are things that you should be thinking about when you're going to make this change, this switch. So in having to do that, you would already have all your information before you came to me with anything. Do I think that you could be successful? Absolutely. I think that that's just who you are. That's in you. You may not have, like I said, dived into so many different things. And they're all kind of, they all kind of come back and they're related to the same. Like if, okay, for instance, the 3D printer, if maybe I didn't help you with it, you might've lost interest. Because it would have been, I don't know how to work this. And this is just dumb. Why am I doing this? But then when we could figure it out, you know, together, I could help teach you. We could look at YouTubes. We could do various things. Then you could make things. And it's like, oh, this is cool. But if you didn't get to that end result, you probably would have lost interest and maybe, you know, gone to something different.
I agree with that. It's not, and another thing is it's not always about, like, your kid can have something special, right? Like, you can have a really great seed, but it still needs water,
right?
It still needs sunlight. It still needs to be nurtured. You know, they even say if you talk to your plants, sing to your plants, they grow faster. These different things. I don't know how factual that is, but, you know, they say these different things. Like, this plant, it could be a great, you know, thing that they already have within them, but it still takes a lot of outside things, right, that are important. And a mom is that. A mom is the sunlight, the water, you know what I mean?
Right.
Even the soil, keeping you grounded, like these different things. And I don't think that, you know, enough people respect that about right, moms. Like, moms really hold it down.
Yeah.
They really hold it down, especially single moms. They really, really hold it down.
It's a serious job. That's why I said one of my full-time jobs, even though you're off in college, I don't just pass it off as I now have a name. I'm not just Takaya's mom as I was when you were in elementary school or middle school. I'm now discovering my own identity because you're not in the house. So with you being off to school, and granted, you're just up the street or, you know, 40 minutes, a 40 minute drive. But I told you, if you went there to the University of Maryland, you were going to be there. You're not just going to be coming home every single weekend. I wanted you to get the full experience. So now I'm having to basically like reinvent myself, not being Takaya's mom, because I put so much and so many sacrifices and it was so well worth it. You know, I wasn't doing it like for a pat on the back. It's just, I had a great mom. You know, she put efforts into me. And I think that when you are a parent, be it mother or father, that's just what you're supposed to do. So to me, it's not, oh, you're a great mom. No, that's what you're supposed to do.
You heard it from the best. What can I say? So I know you mentioned like reinventing yourself. Are there any like things that you've been working on? You know?
Yes, I'm trying to figure out which direction I'm going to go in. With respect to, I love working with younger children. And if I can help teach them, again, I'm not a teacher, but just I feel like I am in tune with people, or I pay attention to people. So be it teaching kids in Sunday school, you know, and just having that love, because you have a lot of kids who may not be exposed to various things that I may be able to help expose them to, you know, and just kind of, I do think that that is a gift that I've been blessed with, and I just want to share it. So with that, recently I was given the opportunity to virtually work with some kids with VexIQ, and it was very different, but again, I love to work with students, younger kids. These kids were in eighth grade, but even to see the dynamics of them, they weren't in the same location. So, you know, we're doing these Zoom calls, and to think about how it started when we first started the Zoom calls to now, these kids are going to, they got a spot at the world competition. So they're competing with other kids around the world. We're not even talking about whatever state they're from. They're it's around the world,
and that's
which
big.
Is amazing. Yeah, yeah, it is amazing. So to have, and this is something that I, even though I've done Vex IQ before, this is something that I've never had the opportunity to go to Worlds for Vex IQ. So with that, just me trying to step out on what I know that I have and not sitting on a gift that God has given me, but to be able to expose and teach. And so I'm looking to potentially, you know, work with some kids for STEM, you know, be it in the community, be it in the church, and just kind of go from there. I want to be obedient. And if this, I feel like it's a desire that I have, I'm still pouring into you, but if I can pour into someone else, not taking the place of a parent, but just that extra push, you know, you had a lot of people, we had a village, you know, for you. So,
and that's what it takes.
Yes. So if I can help to be that village, and even just that one spark, or if a kid doesn't have an opportunity, the same opportunities that you may have had, but they may be interested. So if I can say, hey, you know, here's this 3D printer, let's see what we can do with this, and spark that curiosity. And then you never know where that can go.
Yeah, that's very true. You know, sometimes it takes, especially in the African-American community.
Right.
It's a lack of exposure to a lot of things. You
Absolutely.
Know, a lack of exposure to, my main thing is entrepreneurship, because that's where my passion lies. You know, we look at numbers and these different things. It's a low amount. Mm. And it doesn't necessarily have to do with because we can't, but one, we don't see it.
Right.
And it's hard to see things. It's hard to believe in things that you don't see.
Correct.
You know what I mean? It's hard to believe that, oh, I can be this crazy millionaire, or I can be very successful with this, you know, being a barber, being a hairdresser, or being a tattoo artist, or being an artist in general, making clothes, whatever the case may be. It's hard to, you know, believe that when you don't always see it. You
right.
see people, oh, it's a little hobby. It's a little side hustle, right? I feel like a lot of times minorities don't realize that their hustle and what they're doing actually is a hustle, and that it's a real legit thing that can actually, you know, change their life and change their family's lives. So it's really important to make sure that we're exposing our community.
Right.
If we have a talent or a skill, exposing them to, you know, this, what's going on and different things that you may know about, mm-hmm. all these cool things, you know what I mean? So I think that's another big thing. Just for those that are listening in as well, I just wanted to give like a brief little background on what Vex IQ is. Vex IQ is robotics, where you can build a robot and then you compete on like a little field that you make, not even 10 feet by 10 feet, but about that size, where you drive your robot around and you compete with other teams. They have this at a state level, a regional level, and a national level, or a global level, I should say. And globals is where my mother will be going, you know, soon to compete. So that's really exciting, you know, with her team going, being able to compete globally with kids that are from all over the world for this one competition. So, yeah, I just wanted to give brief knowledge. Definitely, if you're interested in STEM, think about this program, you know, getting involved in it, because it has been super cool. I did Vex IQ when I was younger. And they have Vex. We call it Big Vex, but Vex, that's for bigger people that are not in
high schoolers. Right.
Yeah. It's like more metal and like screwdrivers and stuff, which is super cool, too. I know another thing. I'm just going to, you know, drop a little bit of stuff on you real quick, because, you know, you talked about reinventing yourself. And I can definitely say that I've seen you make like some changes in the different things you're doing and trying to still be like hip with the tech world. And that's one thing that has really impressed me. My mom bought an NFT.
I did.
She bought an NFT. I don't know if y'all know what NFTs are, and I'm not going to make this a whole blockchain crypto little talk, but just to give you a little bit of information, the NFT stands for a non-fungible token. All of these are based on blockchain. Normally, it's just the image. You can make an NFT out of anything. I can make this podcast an NFT. I can make anything a sound. Whatever you may think about, you can make it an NFT, right? So my mom, you know, she was like really excited about this new thing. I'm sure most people have heard about like these three letters combined and like, what is this? So she like came to me and was like, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. And I'm like, okay. And I knew enough about it to understand the technology and what they are, but I didn't know how to actually buy one. So I'm having to ask people like, hey, like, can you help me help my mom buy an NFT? Cause I don't really know how to do it. Had people come and like, I'm taking notes, sitting down, writing, scribbling on my little iPad, listening to people tell me, you know, writing the steps down and then trying to walk her through the process. But I can't say I'm more proud of my mom for like actually being engaged in these different things. You know, one thing that's always been big to me is not only being able to talk stuff, because anybody can say anything.
Right.
I can talk any game that I want to talk, but also being about it. And one thing I could really say is like, when she talked about support, she was about it. She wasn't like, oh, I'm going to support you. No, it's I'm going to support you. She supported me at an event that I just had last week, you know, pretty big event for my school, a pitch competition. Where you pitch your company to other investors. And, you know, she dropped stuff off of me, made me some amazing pens, which is another thing. She's super talented at making these really nice pens that I'm writing with now. You know, all these different things, but, you know, wrapping chocolate and doing all these different things to help and support me. Like, support is so important, you know. And one thing about my mother is that she doesn't just talk the talk. She walks the walk as well, which is really, really big. But I had to give her a shout out for, you know, buying that NFT, because that was big. How did you feel? Like, and even now, as you're continuing to like learn about new things, like what's your next thing? I know you talked about like the STEM stuff and you've been talking to me about that, but like, even outside of that, are you just like, like maybe I know you make body butters. I'm throwing all your business out here, right? But talk to me. Let me know something.
Right. So with the NFT, I can be very impulsive, and I kind of got caught up seeing something on social media and it was like, whoa, what is this? Oh, I like this picture. Oh, I like what this is about. And, you know, I'd watched it for a couple of days. And then when it actually came live to mint, I'm like, I got to do this. What it, and it was so, I will say I was very overwhelmed. So I'm working and then looking at the clock, like, okay, it's going to go live at this time. I've got to be in place. And what is it that I have to do? I don't understand. And I'm texting Takiya probably during class. Like, I just don't understand what I'm supposed to do. It's just so much information, platforms that I had never heard of before. And it was just information, just overload. And I was so excited about it. And just to be able to feel like I was a part of something. Cause one thing that you would always say to Takiya is like, an NFT is kind of like for a special group of people. And at that moment, I felt special because I had information that not everybody else had, because I actually purchased or minted this NFT. So now it's like, oh, other things are opening up and I'm able to get more information. Now, it did not perform as I thought that it would,
not but yet, I'm holding but it takes
on.
Time.
I'm holding on. It was a new project, and I would like to get into other investments. You know, now I'm thinking, okay, how can I make money, you know, thinking about creating an LLC, which I'm really trying to move forward with that. You know, we all know taxes, you know, we need tax breaks, you know, and depending upon what tax bracket you're in, you may not be able to get the same tax breaks other people can get, you know, be it writing off college tuition or, you know, just certain things. So it's, you know, it caused me to evaluate what can I do to help me, you know, thinking about still being a mom. Okay. Property. I can get property. How will that affect Takiya? I want her to have property. I want to be able to travel. I want to do these things with my family, you know, be it siblings or whatever. What can we do if we collectively put our money together? So for me right now, that is the goal between the STEM, trying to jump into that environment, as well as business aspects. I want to do things that I like to do, not doing it because I have to do it. Yeah. Like, for instance, you're saying make the pens. I do like the pens. I love being creative. I love 3D printing. I printed some earrings, you know, but it's just the point. I haven't gotten to the point in my life where I feel like this is a business venture. I don't want it to be a chore. Yeah. If I just happen to do stuff because I do it and I like it and, oh, I can gift this to someone, that's one thing. But I don't know how, if I had to on a regular make body butters after I finished working, and because I may not have the machines that can just quickly do it. So it's going to be more, it may be more of a chore in the beginning. It's like, okay, yeah, this is cool. No, I do it because I like it. You know what I mean? I can just make a batch when I feel like it, not you have 10 orders. Yeah. And yeah, it might be great. and it will definitely potentially sell, but I'm the one that's going to have to do it. I don't have a team of people doing it for me. So before I step out there, I need to make sure that it is something that I really, really want to do. And, you know, even creating an LLC, just doing something that's very broad, where if there are things that I want to do, they can fall underneath that umbrella. So right now I'm trying to take the time to educate myself with tech things. You know, now on Instagram, you know, I'm always sending you things. Oh, Nike now has an NFT shoe. And, you know, this NFT, oh my goodness, did you listen to this? So the fact that I can, again, share in this with you, and then you even coming to me with information, you know, I didn't know anything about an NFT until you started telling me about them. I wasn't following this information on social media. And you're like, no, you know, you need to get into this area. You need to do this. You'd like it. So the fact that we know each other and we can share in these things, that's very rewarding too. You know, not like, oh, I got to figure out how to reach my kid. We don't have things to talk about. I mean, we have various things to talk about, various ways to enjoy ourselves that around each other. Yes. So that's really nice. And for anybody listening, no, every day is not perfect. Every day may not be sunny with us, you know, but our personalities go together very well, and we can get past things, you know, because we know the big point, the big purpose of, you know, the mother-daughter relationship.
Yeah. And that's big. Like, we definitely have had our moments where, right, like, arguments and like really hurt feelings on either side, mm-hmm, but it's like, you know, it happens, and then you figure out what's next. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's all a part in any type of relationship that you have, you know, a relationship with your parents, a relationship with friends or whatever. Like, you're going to have times where you upset each other, you bother each other, but it's that love that allows things to continue to move, which is also really big. You know, having people that like care about you, and it's unconditional in a way, like, you may really make me angry or you may really upset me, but like at the end of the day, this is still what it is. We'll, right, get over it. You know what I mean? Being, right, able to talk those things out are like really important.
Very important. Very important to be able to have that open communication. I wouldn't say you tell me about every single thing that's in your life, but I think that if I had an issue or if you had an issue, we could both come together. It could be a hard discussion, but to me, that's what you're supposed to be able to do. Yeah. I respect you, and I know that you respect me. So, you know, not that I give you leeway. Yeah, you're 18 now, but you're still my child. So there's a level of that you should not cross regardless. I mean, I do it with my parents, you know, so it's just the way that I was taught, and you know, that's just what we do, but I still have to respect you as the 18-year-old, you know? So making decisions, like, I don't get the report cards. I can get the bill, but I have to get permission to see the bill, because it's all on you. You're 18, getting ready to be 19.
Yeah. You know, it's a different level of responsibility that begins to come as you get older. And that's something that you have to navigate as well. As a younger person getting older, you know, slowly but surely, like you said, I will be 19 in a month. Little over a month and like 9 days, I will be 19, which is pretty exciting. But, you know, when you start getting older, you start having more responsibility. You get closer to being like an adult. Like, I call myself right now a fake adult. You know, like, I'm a fake me out an adult. Like, I can do some adult things, but not all adult things. You know, and you start getting to like that 21 age, or you're leaving college and you're on your own for real. And it's like, you know, a big like a chow in your face, like a real slap, like, wake up, you know. And that's another reason why I work so hard now. Because it's like, I know this time doesn't go by. I'm almost done. I have 2 weeks left in my freshman year of college, and it flew by. At one point, I feel like I was really able to slow the time down, and I still was able to slow it down. But you can't stop time at the end of the day, and like, it moves. You know what I mean? So it's like, if you have opportunities in school, or an opportunity, you know, in your workplace or wherever the place may be, if you have an opportunity, you have to take it.
Right.
And that's one thing that I've done. Like, granted, it's like, oh yeah, you do a lot, but yeah, these opportunities keep presenting themselves. And for me, if God is putting this in my face, it's not for me to say no.
Right. You're right.
You know, it could be a lot, but hey, sometimes you just got to do a lot.
Right.
And it gets easier. And I've always said, like, I'm fine with sacrificing these 4 years of my life, mm-hmm, to be tied down, because for me, I'm not going to be doing all of this hustling and all this super hard work. This will not be done all my life. My goal is, when I graduate, I can travel. I can do whatever I want to do. You know what I mean? Be set. Take a little gap year, maybe a gap 2 years, to do what I want to do, refresh as an adult, figure out my next project. That's my goal.
Right.
But it takes the work now. And like I said, this day's work super hard. days where I beat myself up and I'm like, I know I had one day and I'm like, why am I even doing this? And it was a day where I just really had to sit back and I just had to think like, okay, I didn't get into, it was a program that I wanted to get into at my school. I didn't get into a program, you know, I was just sitting down and I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, I work hard. I'm doing all these different things. I'm acquainted. Like, I make sure I network with these people. But these things that I am expecting to pay off are not paying off. You know what I mean? I'm losing more money doing this entrepreneurship thing than I am getting in right now.
Right.
But it's a part of the process. And I know another interesting thing someone asked me not too long ago, even at the pitch competition, I was getting interviewed. And he was like, well, what advice do you have for any entrepreneur or anybody really in general? And I sat and I thought for a little bit. And the main thing that I first thought of is passion. Because when you have a passion, when you have a fire that's lit under you about something, no matter those hard days where you sit down and you think, why am I doing this? The next day you'll wake back up and you'll be like, all right, it's another day to try this again. This one opportunity didn't work out, but there's going to be a bigger one or a better one that, you know, can present itself. And that passion is big. Even as you were talking about really trying to figure out what your next move is, you got to take that time to figure that out. Because if you're not passionate about something, if you're not passionate about your body butters or making or making your pens, when you get those orders in and you don't want to do it anymore, you're not going to do it anymore.
Absolutely.
And that's why so many people's dreams or like businesses or all these different things fail is because it's a lack of passion.
Right.
They're focused on the monetary aspect or, oh, it's going to make me a lot of money or, oh, this could be profitable. Yeah, but if you're not passionate on this, the days that are hard, you're going to give up because what is keeping you going?
Right.
When money's not coming in, what is keeping you going? Really evaluate your motivations for the different things that you do. Even as a parent, like you said, the support. I'm sure there's some days where it's really hard to support me. I'm sure of it. I'm sure some days where you're like, oh my goodness, this child. Or some days where it's like, I may really make you mad or whatever else, but like you still do it. You know what I mean? Even like working on your different projects. Like I'm sure some days with the kids and you're like, oh my goodness, this is so awful. Or even when you taught or led teams that you've had and it's just like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. You know, but you keep doing it because it's that passion.
Right.
And that's what you have to feed in whatever you do. And for any age group is when you find that thing that you love, don't let it go away.
Right.
And that's another thing you talked about earlier was that those changes that are taking place. And one of the main changes that I know my mom for a fact was referring to was me changing my major. Right. This is like one of the biggest things. I feel like one of the almost the most pivotal moments in my life, like just taking like the ultimate pivot. All my life, I had said, I'm going to be an engineer. My whole life. I'm going to be an engineer. I don't know what type, but I'm going to be an engineer. And then I get to the lovely age of 18 in a few good amount of months, almost 19. And I'm like, I am not going to be an engineer, you know? And it was something that took me one. I was like, I had a hard time adjusting to that, saying, okay, I've been doing this my whole life. At least, you know, one of the things I've been doing my whole life. But I've also been selling products my whole life, making 3D printed projects or whatever else, you know, and those changes, like, I'm sure that's hard to support as a parent, knowing that, like, you know, you would even expect, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to school for material science engineering and have a scholarship dependent on engineering, right? And my mom is paying for my school. So I'm sure any parent listening in can imagine how that may feel as a parent. But it's the end of the day. At first, I think it was a little bit hard for her to kind of, you know, swallow that pill, like, okay. But now it's at a point where it's like, okay, you have a plan. You know what you're doing. You know, you're going to these different people. You're talking to these different people. And this is what you like to do. And I also believe that when you have a certain amount of excitement, when you talk about things, your parent begins to get excited for you too. Right. And I think that's definitely something that you've taken on and embraced. You've embraced the major change.
Well, I was not going to be that parent that would say, no, you just cannot. You have to stick with this. I understand that I am paying for it. But at the same time, you're the one that's taking the classes. You're the one that's there. I want this to be a great experience for you. I don't want it to be a bad experience. I have questions. I have certain, I wouldn't say necessarily concerns. But again, I'm from the traditional standpoint, you know, but I'm not so much in a box. Like, I don't always think in a box.
Yeah.
So the fact that you could describe various things, and I know that the school isn't just going to go for anything. They're not just going to say, okay, you can just do whatever you want. You know, you have to have some sort of direction. you know, my concern was, okay, you change it to this. How is that going to affect you when you graduate? I know that you're never planning to work for anyone, but again, for me, I feel like you never know what place you may be in.
Yeah.
You have a degree and, you know, in engineering, and that can go so far. It can go in so many different areas, not where you're sitting in an office, not where you're sitting in a lab, but, you know, you could be testing materials. You could be coming up with the next material of whatever. So yeah, it definitely, it was an adjustment, but again, I do believe that you are younger, you know, you don't have a family that you have to worry about. And these are decisions that you're going to have to make and you're going to have to live with, you know, because again, this is me not being hands off, but okay, did you pray about it? You know, how do you feel like you're being led? Every class you're not going to like. It's going to be some classes that are going to be very challenging and you're going to have to put in a whole lot of work and you may absolutely hate, but it is a requirement. You can't just get around it. You can't. I didn't want you to change your major because you felt like it was difficult and you just wanted to quit because I didn't raise a quitter. You see it through. And no matter what you did growing up, if you didn't want to play this sport anymore, if you didn't want to be in this program, okay, well, we've signed up for a year. So you're going to have to finish it and you're going to like it.
That's how it worked. It was never a thing of quitting.
We don't quit.
You have to realize the difference too, where it's like, am I quitting or am I having a different passion?
Right.
And I think that's the obvious thing for me. I'm currently a material science engineering major, and I'm actually going to be making my own major.
Right.
It's going to be focused on entrepreneurship, African-American studies, art, and STEM, you know. But these are all things that have been in my life since childhood that I've loved. Right. And I think it's an obvious thing, like, okay, you know, these are things she's actually passionate about and really cares about. And once again, thank you for the support.
Oh, of course. I mean, you are...
I think you need a little bit of a... some applause for that one.
You are, I'm not going to say you're a perfect child, but you are a great child to parent, you know, and I'm very, very, very proud of you. I'm proud of the moves that you make. I absolutely love being a part of your life and being a part of things that you do. I've always loved it. You know, that's why to me, it wasn't, oh, I'm going the extra mile. No, I want to see the expressions, you know, when you were in first grade and I could volunteer in class. Oh my goodness. That was just like the best thing ever for me, you know? So, I'm very proud of the moves that you're making. I'm thankful for, you being grounded, and you've never been like the typical child. Not to say that there was something wrong with you, but your view was always just, it was just different. You were on a different path. You didn't, and I tried not to hold you back where it would be certain things that you wanted to do. I would try to say, well, do you like it? Okay. If you like it, hey, there you go.
And especially with my fashion choices. Right. I remember that was not heard regularly with what I was wearing. Well, before I walk out the house, do you like it? Yes, I like my outfit.
And okay. So then if somebody says, I don't care, there you go. We're building up that confidence. We're building up that love of self, you know, and for me, that was very important. Not that you want your child to think that they're better than anybody else, but in no matter what, they're comfortable. Even if somebody does come at them, yeah, it may hurt your feelings a little bit, but at the end of the day, you like it. So whatever this person says, and you kind of grew up with not being so moved by other kids' opinion of you. Yeah. You wanted the teachers to think favorably of you because they were the ones, I guess you figured out at an early age, they're the ones that, you know, give the grades. They're the ones that can give things to me, you know, be it a treat in class if I'm good, or these little kids can't do anything for me. Yeah. You know what I mean? So you kind of embrace that early on. And, you know, like I said, it has been a pure joy. I really love our dynamics. When other people see us, you know, we'll just be in the stores, just laughing, cracking silly jokes,
always.
You know, but it has been a pure joy to be your mom. Very thankful for the blessing of you and even how your compassion for people, you know what I mean? And just the love that you have, and you love hard, you know, if you're call someone a friend, they're for real a friend, and you hold them to a certain expectation because that's what you would do, you know? So, Yeah, it's just, it's been great. And like I said, I'm very proud of you. I'm very proud of the choices that you're making. Sometimes I still wish you didn't put a lot on yourself, but I've gotten to the point where it's just like, okay, you know, prayerfully, Lord, just don't let her get sick from her trying to do just so many different things. And then, you know, some of the things that you do that most people would think is work, you enjoy doing.
Yeah, that's very true.
So where most people may not be able to understand, oh, she's working again. Oh, she's doing this. Oh, hey, all I can say is she says she likes it. This, she doesn't want to be doing some of the other activities that other students may want to do. So I can't force you to, you know, do that. I'll even say, you know, you're a freshman. You're doing certain things that juniors and seniors are doing. I want you to enjoy your freshman year as a freshman. That's one thing. Don't try to fast forward. Enjoy the moment. You have always like looked forward. Let's enjoy right now. Yeah. Let's not think, oh, now when we get there, what are we going to do? Let's just enjoy right now. But that's how you're wired, you know? So, yeah, but it's been amazing, and I'm really proud of the person that you're becoming, and I'm and you inspire me, you know, to do. I mean, come on, you helped me buy an NFT, you know, and you're always pushing me. No, you know, you say you want to do this, you know, you do this well. Okay, we got to get this going. Come on. So you don't let me slouch, you know, at all. You know, this is what you say you want to do. You can do well, a good job at it. You do better than some of these other people. We need to make this happen. And I like too the fact that you still want to do certain things with me, certain ventures with me, you know, not just totally excluding me. Nope. And you still want me there. That was one thing growing up. It was easy to support because you wanted me there. Sometimes kids are like, oh gosh, my mom is coming. You know, I never, yeah. It was just like, are you going to, I mean, it was just like an expectation. Oh no, you're going to be there. Yes, I am. And if I couldn't be there, it was like heartbreaking to me. Like, oh my gosh, I just cannot go. Okay, you've been to all the other, but still, I want to see this too. Yeah, so.
That's a big thing. Well, I know we're gonna wrap it up. This is definitely almost a Mother's Day special.
Oh yes,
as you know, Mother's Day is next week.
Right.
But definitely, you know, Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you too. You know what I mean? Like I said earlier, just having a mother that is like excited about these things that I can even go into business with. And you know, we're always talking about ideas. We were doing yard work today talking. I was telling you about an idea we should start based off of a problem we were having doing yard work.
Right.
I can't tell you guys because, you know, it's patent pending. But, you know, these different things that we talk about and ideas that we have is just, it's something we can share. And I think that's a really beautiful thing is that, you know, we can come together and sit and like, okay, we're going to work on these STEM ideas or we're going to work on these different projects together. And it's special. And right. And it means a lot to me. So wrapping up, I just want to, you know, finish this with a little bit of advice. So I guess, you know, you've been dealing with me for 18 years, so almost 19.
Mm. Right.
So what advice do you have for parents, specifically mothers, because that's what you are, you know, even if you want to be more specific, being a single mother, you can give whatever amount of advice that you'd like, but what advice do you have for mothers, that may have a kid that's a little bit different or, you know, kind of in their own lane or working on whatever, or maybe ambitious or that they're trying to support? Any advice that you feel like you've learned just from dealing with me, putting up with little old me, you know, any advice that you have, like what would you?
Absolutely. I would just tell them to encourage that child as much as they can. Love that child for their differences. Don't try to make that child conform to what other kids may or may not be doing. Rather, you have one child. If you have, you know, five children, and each child is going to have a different personality. Each child is going to want something totally different. Love that child, meet them where they are, and help them to be able to enhance, you know, any gifts that you may see. Like, be intentional with your children and pray over them. And I still pray for this, you know, even though you're almost 19 years old, I'm still praying for direction and wisdom as being a mother and even being that example to you. So it may not be 100%, you know, exactly how you may be. Now, I was fortunate enough because my child, we do have a lot of similarities, but we do have a lot of differences as well. So I didn't try to make her conform. I may suggest, or I may ask, nope, I don't want to wear that. No, I need these shoes or I need these pants. Really? I don't really, but I allowed her to express herself. Not just she had free reign or willy-nilly within the house. No, it was just, it was still some structure. But when it came to certain things with respect to, you know, her interest and things that she didn't, she wanted to do, I wanted her to be a ballerina, you know, take tap and ballet. And guess what? No, I'd pay for the class and then I had to cancel because she was not having it. So I didn't, I tried not to push, oh, I took ballet when I was little. So yeah, you're a little girl. You're supposed to take ballet. No, not this little girl. This little girl wants to go tinker with a car. Really? You want to be the pit crew for your racing team. Okay. You know, so even though that's the direction that she wanted to go in, and I may not have always understood it, I tried to understand. And then two, I just tried to give her the space and, you know, support as much as I could and not just shoot something down. So if it would be something that you wanted to do and it was something so far to the left, I would ask questions and I would say, I'm not saying you can't, I'm just trying to understand. So try to understand, especially if it's something that is so different from what you would normally do, and try to encourage your child, even at a young age, to come up with a plan as to, okay, this is what you want to do. How are you going to do it? How are you going to go about it? What does that look like? Yeah, you know,
had a lot of those conversations.
And just like I said, just try to meet them where they are and help them to enhance. And they may shift in the middle of the road and you're just like, wait, how, huh? What just happened? But still, you know, remind them of, you know, where they were. And are you sure that this is what you want to do? And again, what's the plan? Where are you going to be? I definitely didn't want to just put her, or any child. I don't think any child should be in a box. I think children should have structure, but they should still be able to, you know, fly, you know, on, not necessarily on their own, especially as a little person. But if they say, hey, I want a business, I want to go sell this. Okay, let's see how we're going to do that. When you came to me wanting to sell things in school, I don't think they allow that. Okay, you know what? Let's ask. You present whatever to your principal. You know what I mean? So, an exposure. Try to do the best you can. Like if you see something in your child, if your child just can put things together really nicely, you know, like they can do puzzles, or they just come up with these different builds for Legos or whatever, just out of nowhere. And you're like, wow, that's really good. Or they sit next to an instrument and they just have an ear and they just start playing. Try to expose them to that area that you're seeing that they may be gifted so that it can enhance that. See if they really do like it, you know, because some people are just naturally gifted in certain areas and either they weren't encouraged to go in that direction, or it was just like, oh, well, that's not something that I'm interested in. Yeah, no, who would want to do something like that? But it at this point, like think of an artist or any type of, if you're into music, I mean, the way music is going now, you know, like you say, an NFT, if you're an artist, it didn't have to mean that you were going to stand there and draw portraits, but it could mean you could be a graphic designer. Yeah. So try not to think outside the box. So again, it would be the trying to recognize whatever their little gift is, and then the exposure, you know, and then the support, not put them in the box, because we have some really talented kids out here. A lot of these Black kids, oh my gracious, they are amazing, you know, and unfortunately some of them just either don't, you know, have the exposure, or they just don't know. And everything doesn't have to be about sports. It doesn't. There's a lot of other gifts out here that can get you ahead and can get that great job or business or whatever, paying for school. Yep.
Very true.
Aside from just, you know, and then, you know, letting those creative juices just flow, just go.
Well, you heard it firsthand from the best mother in the world, at least in my eyes. You know, I know everyone thinks their mom is the best, but my mom is the best. So, you know, it's your host, Akai Imani, on the Black Woman Complex podcast. It was a pleasure to have you listening in.
It was a pleasure being here.
We had the guest,
Latiba Ponder,
my wonderfully amazing mother. And we're going to head on off of this. Please make sure you tune into the next episode, which will be coming soon. Have a blessed evening. Catch you on the flip.